Turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. Mark, chapter 5, we read his account of this miracle within a miracle. The Lord was intending to perform a miracle on Jairus' daughter, and before he arrived at the home, a certain woman makes her way through the crowd. Many are no doubt touching the Lord Jesus, but incidentally, what a message there is there. How many today are having incidental contacts with the Lord Jesus Christ and are not affected by that as this woman was in the crowd. So many are going through ceremonies and many are even in Bible-believing churches hearing the Word of God preached and singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and saying prayers and being in the midst of prayers that are being made, but yet they themselves are not being affected eternally by their connection, their contact, so to speak, with the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 5 will commence at verse 25. We're told in verse 24 that Jesus went with Jairus and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue or a hemorrhaging of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered. Besides that, we're told, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press, the crowd, behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague, that stroke of disease. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue, power, had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. We're told in a certain woman being in a flow of blood 12 years and suffering many things by many physicians simply touches the garment. In particular, we're told she touched the hem of his garment and perhaps that was the tassel. As you know from the Old Testament that they wore tassels on the corners, so to speak, of their garments, their outer garments. And the Pharisees, of course, enlarged those tassels as if to say that their righteousness exceeded the righteousness of everyone else. No doubt Jesus had a simple tassel, but how it spoke volumes, didn't it? His life certainly reflected what the tassels represented. To remind the people to keep the commandments of God, we're told in Numbers chapter 15. It's good to have reminders. And of course, we have verbal reminders every week, don't we? Sermons are tassels for God's people. Our lives should be tassels to each other. Our conversation should be tassels. But she simply touched the tassel, the hem of Jesus' garment, and was made whole. Here's a case of a suffering woman, or may we say the suffering of a woman used to make her feel her need of Christ. Suffering used of God to bring her to Christ. And that's the thought this morning. Actually, changing it a little bit from what's in our brochure this morning. Suffering, the path to the Savior. And I dare say that no one finds the Savior without feeling suffering in some way or another. An unnamed, a no-name woman. Some say Eusebius, the historian, said her name was Veronica. But can we be sure of that? She was an unnamed, a no-name woman, if you will, and she finds the name above all names, the Lord Jesus Christ, who because of His suffering could do such a miracle of not only physical healing, but spiritual healing. And she is the only one of that we can tell in the whole record that we have in the Scriptures that Jesus called her specifically daughter. Ostracized by society, we know from the book of Leviticus that one who had this kind of disease, hemorrhaging in any way, whether it be the way of women or some disease or plague, if it was different or connected, even if it was with that, They had no connection with society. They were unclean. Anyone that was touched. So this woman was risking a lot. How many people did she touch and did touch her that she made, so to speak, ceremoniously unclean? She was doing something that was forbidden, and yet was it forbidden to find the Savior in the crowd? He didn't rebuke her for that. Suffering, the path to the Savior. God uses it to awaken a soul to flee to Christ. If this woman had not been sick and felt her sickness and her need, would she have even desired? How many others were in the crowd just kind of swept along with the excitement that were not healed, that were not saved, that had contact with the Savior on earth? And yet it was merely incidental at the end of the day. What about you this morning? You have a contact with the Savior today. His Word is being spoken. His presence is in this place. As it were, we're all in the throng surrounding the Savior as He is ministering. As He says that He ministers to His people. That after He went to heaven, it says that He ministered through His disciples. He worked with them, the signs that follow. He's still working. He's still building His church. He's still walking in the midst of His candlesticks. Is this indeed a candlestick, a church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we preach His Word? Do we by grace engage in the sacraments that He has left for us? Do we seek the purging of ourselves in the congregation? Do we exercise church discipline if need be? Is there repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ? Do we preach the gospel of free grace? Of the God of glory and grace? Is the Lord Jesus Christ hailed here as the only mediator between God and man? Let heretics condemn such churches. The Lord Jesus Christ is here to commend the obedience of God's people and to convict the disobedience of God's people. And may we hear His voice. Be humbled by any commendation and led to repentance regarding any conviction. Has the Lord used your perception of your kind of suffering to cause you to come to Himself? I'd like us to trace the path of suffering all the way to Christ. Surely there was the existence of suffering as revealed by this woman representing every sinner. And there was her personal experience that she felt. But there was the deliverance, certainly temporally for her here, but there was more than a temporal deliverance, temporal suffering. Suffering, first of all, is evidence of the curse of sin. Here was a woman with an issue of blood, fulfilling what the Lord Jesus, or what the Lord said in Genesis 3:16, I will greatly increase your sorrow. In particular, the sorrow of bearing children, but sorrow connected with the fact that Eve was used of the devil to cause her husband to fall. And the whole human race plummeted. Is this not, even this particular disease, indicative of taking us back all the way to the curse of sin? She had a particular disease regarding her bowels, if you will. There was severe hemorrhaging. Would this be termed a perpetual period, the way of women? It was a terrible disease that she was suffering. Procreation was especially affected. I don't know how old she was, but certainly if she was of bearing age, it was preventing such a privilege and blessing. She was affected in the area where we think of the transmission of sin. As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. In sin did my mother conceive me. This particular disease should remind us of the fall, of the curse. But oh, the variety and the severity of suffering on the earth. Why is it that people do not connect suffering with sin? I'm not saying that any particular sin caused this particular suffering. But if sin causes death, and the means of death is some sickness, some plague, some certainly suffering involved, we connect therefore the suffering with the curse and with sin. And we should think about the curse when we think about hospitals and disease and sickness and cemeteries. We have illustrations to remind us where we've come from, who we are. That we're sinners because we were born of a sinner and a sinner. And all of us are descendants of a sinner and a sinner, of our forefather, Adam, and his wife Eve. But think of the variety and severity of sufferings on the earth. I mean, all through the Gospels, you have plagues and diseases and deformities and injuries and sickness and tragedy and accidents and hardships and infections and poisons and demon possessions. Every kind, it seems, of malady, death itself. Does anyone even ask why? And oh, how the devil wants man to point the finger at God. No, the finger is to be pointed here. The human race, we sinned against God. God made man upright. And we sought out many inventions. The wages of sin is death. Trace the path of death. And you'll see that it finds itself in disease and sickness, and hospitals, deathbeds, sin and corruption, and then sickness and all kinds of maladies, and then cometh death. And then what? Does suffering end with death? Oh, friend, if you only have an incidental contact with the Lord Jesus Christ, or no contact at all in this life, suffering only begins at death. The Bible says the smoke of their torment ascendeth forever and ever. Oh, if only the people that are contemplating suicide, who know not the Lord Jesus Christ, would recognize you're just beginning, friend, when you die without Christ. You're just beginning to suffer. Remember the man who woke up in Hades says, I am tormented. I am suffering in this flame. Hell is real. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Look at suffering all around us and in us. It's an evidence of the curse of sin. God said, if you sin, you will be cursed. And part of the curse is suffering. Oh, here, the mothers bearing children, the pain and the groan, all see the diseases. Even the reminder, is it not a reminder? The suffering due to the fall of man, the way of women. We should be reminded of the evidence of the curse of sin in male and female. Secondly, suffering, though, is the cause and need for help. Yet here's where the Lord turns the curse into blessing. Once you recognize that you're suffering and ponder the reason, ultimately, friend, there's the beginning, therefore, of help and hope. This woman began to get sick. It was 12 years. She was a woman. She wasn't a child. So she began to get sick. And there was a point where what she was trying to do to recover was not going to work. It didn't go away. If it began the way of women, then it didn't stop. And this poor woman recognized, I need help. And so one after another, she sought physicians. Oh, miserable comforter. But the fact is, she sought help. And in a sense, there was the beginning of hope. She sought mitigation, alleviation, possible deliverance. She began to have problems. The self-remedies were unavailing. She sought physician after physician. Thank God she finally found and sought the physician of physicians. But think about how many that are suffering and seek no one's help. They remain where they are, self-sufficient. They have enough money to get by and to alleviate it enough where it's bearable. Or they have health and really no major illness surfaces. And though they do suffer more ways than one, their health, it seems, physically anyway, overrides the recognition that they do have sorrows. Everyone has sorrows. Or people have a pain endurance and they don't need help. We need help. The punishment is at once the rooster to awaken. The sickness, the suffering is actually a grace from God. It's like someone said, you know, pain is a blessing. If you don't feel pain and you're hurting, that's when you lose limbs. You don't feel a burning oven top, you're going to burn your skin off. They say that lepers, certain kind of leprosy, they can't feel the tips of their fingers. They can't feel, and it's a curse to not have feeling, not to feel pain. Thank God that we can feel pain. Thank God when you can feel the ultimate pain, the pain of your sin. Thank God for the day when we recognize, I'm a sinner, that's why I'm miserable. I'm a sinner. That's why I'm not able to have peace with my family. I'm a sinner. That's why I can't get along. I'm a sinner. I suffer. I have need. I suffer because I'm a sinner. Thank God when that realization came. How many people have no feeling? Me, a sinner? What do I do? They compare themselves with others. They undeify God and then therefore cannot see that they're sinners. They don't look at God's law, which reveals their sin. Suffering should be the cause and need for help. And think of the not just the physical maladies. Think of the insane asylums and the mental hospitals. And think of just the sin, the moral and spiritual malady, lies and covetousness and lust. We have evidence of suffering and sin, guilt, murder, adultery, fornication, idolatry, false religion that man has sought to alleviate his guilt that's real. Blessing when we begin to feel our need. Thirdly, but suffering demands the highest help of God, ultimately. It says she spent all her existence, all her livelihood. In other words, she spent all her estate, whatever she had, whether it was substantial or not. It's literal. She spent it all. Whatever she had in the bank account was gone. In other words, she sold everything she had, we're assuming. She was in a position of bankruptcy, as it were. And then it tells us she was nothing bettered by it. And then she grew worse. It says she suffered many things of many physicians. Oh, miserable healers. How many said, I can help you? One failed and the next one said, I'll prevail. And one after the other. Oh, can you imagine what kind of inventions were back then? Trial and error? Many things she suffered. Think about it. Procedures, trial and error, inventions. What did she suffer? Weakness, pain, more pain, other kinds of pain in other places of her body. Did she drink some poisons that they thought were potions? Exhaustion, only embarrassment of that poor woman before all these doctors. Nightmares, further complications. Did this open her up to demonism? Did they try seances? Did they try other kinds of physicians? Sleepless nights as well as oversleep? Did they try hypnosis to open her up to demons? I mean, you can just imagine. It says she suffered many things. Miserable physician. Think of it, friend. How much more is it multiplied in the spiritual realm? There isn't any greater suffering than guilt for sin and liable to judgment and condemnation. And how many physicians are out there with their inventions? Do good and everything will be well. Burn your candles. Guilt multiplied. They don't get any better, but they grow worse. Self-righteousness exalted. Deceit and pride. Vain confidence and idolatry. It's compounded. This woman was brought to the brink. And how many are destroyed after they are brought to the brink? There are options that people have when they're brought to the brink and they realize that man's help is futile. In many cases, people have found Christ when they have been terminal and no one has been able to help them. But their options are bitterness toward God, cold resign. heard of a woman that, you've got one choice, one chance, doctors. One chance with me. If it doesn't work, that's it. Just cold resign. Suicide has been a choice how many have made. Suffering demands the highest kind of help. Thank God that the Savior was there. There's a Savior who's the physician of physicians. And yet, how many are suffering today and have not found the Savior? I was found of them that sought me not. But how many have not had the Savior brought to them? Suffering demands the highest help of God at the end of the day. And it's not true if you have your health, you have everything. I've had so many people say that to me in life. Even if you've had your physical suffering alleviated or removed, you don't have everything. Well, thank God for our health. If you have Christ, you have everything. Suffering, fourthly, can be conquered by Christ and Christ alone. At the end of the day, all suffering, especially spiritual guilt and condemnation, can be conquered by Christ. And here's how it began: having heard of Jesus. That's how it began. And brethren and sisters, we've got to come back to this. Despite the fear of man, despite the rejection of those we've told and have heard, despite the hatred of Christ and of risking your friendship with people and with relatives, this is the only way people are going to have a chance. They've got to hear that the physician's near, that the physician exists. They can't believe on Him whom they haven't heard. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We've got to come back to this. We can't say, like Jeremiah, remember, we all have felt this. I will not speak any more in His name. I'm tired of the hatred. I'm tired of the coldness. I'm tired of the apathy. I'm tired of my own apathy. And we say, I'm not going to speak any more in His name. I'm tired of rejection. But, O Lord, Thy Word was in my heart as a burning fire. Lord, bring it back. May we feel the bite of the Word of God again. May we feel the fire of the truth in our souls. And realize there are people who are going to believe. Even if it's just one unnamed woman in the crowd, isn't it worth it? Most of the crowd didn't really care. They were just swept in the excitement. He only brought in Peter and James and John in Jairus' home, right? And they had miserable mourners when they got there. But, oh, we're looking for that one. But she's got to hear. I wonder where she was when she heard. I wonder if she had contemplated suicide. I wonder if she was trying to get to the next physician and begged, she didn't have any more money. I wonder if she was lying on a bed with a high fever. She was certainly ostracized. She was away from people at that point because she was ceremoniously unclean. She was an outcast. But she heard. Did you hear? Jesus of Nazareth is in town. The blind are made to see. The deaf are made to hear. He even saved a tax collector named Levi. He's following Jesus now. And did you hear about the paraplegic that they lowered through a roof and Jesus healed him? Do you think he can heal me? I got something rare. It's very rarely heard from. I've had this 12 years. I'm exhausted. I'm hurting. Do you think so? I think he can. If he could do those, can he not do this? And the woman was so embarrassed and so, you say she had weak faith and the Lord accepted that she wanted to be secretive. Whether it be embarrassment of the kind of disease or certainly the fact that, that maybe she was afraid of suffering even his anger, that she didn't let him know. She wanted, as it were, to find Christ secretly. You know, here's a picture of people that want to find him secretly. And they don't necessarily want him to know about it. Certainly don't want others to know about it. Just kind of slip in and slip out. I mean, there's some application there. Certainly the Lord doesn't embarrass people unnecessarily. But is it embarrassing for us to admit we're sinners? In great need, we're unclean. Unclean. Suffering can be conquered by Christ. She heard there was a physician that didn't take people's money. No one spent all their substance on getting healed. They got better. They didn't grow worse. Surely Jesus could do the same for you. And how many people are perhaps like the woman may have been? Well, not me. Fred, it really reduces down to self-pity and unbelief. If the Lord Jesus Christ can heal that woman, he can heal anyone. If he can save the chiefest of sinners, as Paul admitted himself to be, he can save anyone. And it's really unbelief when we say, I won't come to Christ because I'm hopeless. It's really just another indication of unbelief. What a faith, though, in a sense. All I got to touch is a part of his garment. Didn't even have to touch his skin. And her faith must have increased, at least to the point where he must be someone special. I mean, with a doctor, she had to be in their midst, face to face, take their medication, take their invention. But with the Savior, all she said was, well, if you can think of the development in her mind. I mean, if she had any doubts by the time she got to the crowd, they were, in a sense, removed. Though it seems to be a secretive kind of faith, think about it. She's just going to touch the garment. That's faith. Isn't the Lord working in her heart? He must be the Son of God. He must be more than a man to touch his garment and be healed. Did you ever hear of that before? Matter of fact, that didn't even happen in any previous healings. Or from what we can tell, did it happen in any post-healings after this? No potion, no surgery, no needles, no medicine, no hypnosis, just a touch of the hem of his garment. Friend, that's all that's needed. Jesus has done all the work. And isn't there some parallel here? The hem of the garment is the finished work. And the Bible says, once for all, Christ died. When you come to Christ, you don't ask Him to die again or mourn again for you. You ask simply, Lord, by the merits of Your blood that was shed once for all, by the merit of Your righteousness that You earned in my behalf to credit to my account, save me. I believe in You. Jesus is the Christ who can heal the body and the soul. It's not merely suffering can be conquered by Christ, but finally suffering will be conquered by Christ, by faith in Christ, by Christ through faith. It says she touched, but she had to believe. That was the symbol, the picture of believing. Believing is the hand. It's not the efficient work of salvation. It's the condition of salvation. There's a difference. People say that when you say, and you'll, they say, when we say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, that your teaching works righteousness. Well, these miserable theologians would call Christ a works righteous teacher. The Lord Jesus did not say, my faith saves you. He said to this woman, thy faith has saved thee. You can't read into that. Now we understand that faith is not the efficient cause of our salvation. We understand that faith and repentance are the result of the miraculous work of regeneration in the soul. But without faith, there is no salvation. Faith is the condition where Christ's life and death are the efficient cause. And the Lord says, you've got to have the hand that holds me. And yea, we may say, but God gives you the hand. But friend, lay hold of Him. Touch the hem of His garment. Believe on Him. Don't wrangle about whether it's before or after or how do I get it. Cry out, Lord, grant to me this faith. I must lay hold of You. I must believe. Suffering will be conquered by faith in Christ. She touched, and then it says virtue touched her. The Lord wasn't ceremoniously, He didn't become ceremoniously unclean. No, the clean one made her, the unclean one, clean. He was not polluted by her touch. She was cleansed by His touch. And isn't it interesting? It doesn't say that virtue came out of God. Virtue came out of Him. Is this not an indication of His deity? Who touched me? Because I perceive that virtue came out of me. Friend, this is not a case of the Lord simply saying, God save you. When Paul and Peter and the disciples healed, it was, don't think that this man is made whole by any power that I have. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, this man stands before you whole. But the Lord Jesus Christ was not merely the conduit. He was the physician. He was the Savior. He saves by His power. He healed her by His power because He is divine. The word virtue is the word dunamis. It speaks of His omnipotence. Virtue came out of me. And by the way, someone said, I think they're right, that it shows you how exhaustive as a man He was in His healing. That power, the ministry of healing and saving, was exhausting on His part. Oh, not as God, His omnipotence is never lessens in degree, but as the human Savior who felt our sufferings and ministered in the strength of His human body, no wonder why He had to get away and be with His Father. It exhausted Him spiritually as well as physically as a human being. Have you ever tried to preach a sermon? Have you ever tried to prepare at length and minister? You pour out your soul if you're truly preaching, if you're truly teaching. And the Savior went about teaching and preaching and healing. Do you wonder why it says He was wearied with His journey, that He needed to go up into a mountain and pray? Does it wonder why He was asleep on a pillow in the midst of a storm? The Lord Jesus would not allow this woman to have secret faith. There's a lesson here. We're to confess the Lord before men. We're to have a public confession. This woman touched the hem of the garment. You can see her fade away. And she was completely healed. Have you ever had, I mean, isn't it wonderful when you've been down sick with something and you're just, it's like someone has punched you and knocked you out. And when you, for the first time, feel that jolt again of recovery, and you've been healed. This is nothing compared to what she had, but I can remember having a boil that was ugly, oozing, for, and it exhausted me. I remember trying to preach in Toronto, and it was so painful and irritating that I had to leave. I couldn't, after I preached the sermon, I said, "Look, I'm not being rude, but I am in terrible agony." And it took 3 or 4 or 5 days of hot baths and just agony. Of course, you know, you think of what other people suffer. But I remember when there was a turn for the better. It was like unbelievable relief. And here was this woman, 12 years, not 3 days, not a month, not a year. 12 years. Think of the exhaustion. The loss of weight. The loss of health. The loss of the flushing of her face. She probably looked death warmed over. And all of a sudden, in a moment, there was strength. There was rejuvenation. There was blessing. There was the color come back. She was a new woman physically, but there was more. The Lord intended to save her soul. He said, "Go into peace," literally. He said, "Woman," he said, "no, not woman, daughter." I mean, there's an indication. The Lord, the reason why He wanted to bring her back. You say, "Well, when was she saved? When she touched the hem of His garment, or when He spoke to her?" But in any case, the Lord brought her back. He said, "Who touched me?" He stopped to see the people fly forward and jostling. He stopped and he looked behind him. He said, "Who touched me?" He knew who she was. You have a crowd of how many people? Dozens of people with all their robes. And she no doubt had a hat and a veil over her face. Knew exactly who she was. And the tense of the verb says he asked it several times. "Who touched me?" Poor Peter. Aren't we like Peter? So impulsive. Lord, they're jostling. Everybody's touching. How we are like that. But you know, when someone gets saved, there's a difference. The Lord saw the difference. And we need to say, "Look, there's a difference in that person's life." And look for that difference. And she knew that she couldn't be hid, and she told them all. And she was willing, you know, some people would find fault with Christ at this point. But He wanted her to glorify God and to tell everyone how bad a disease that she had. That no one, that she had no doubts that, "Look, I have been sick with this hemorrhaging for 12 years. And not to slander, but to be honest, every physician that I could possibly reach, the best of them all I've sought. And no one could help me. Matter of fact, I got worse. And I have spent all my living, have nothing to give any relatives." Did she have any children? Did she have a husband? They all suffered. What did they have now? Parents that she needed to take care of? She said, "Look, I've been bankrupted. But He, by the touch of the hem of His garment, healed me immediately." Oh, there was glory to God. Glory to Christ. The Lord wants a public confession. And you know, sometimes we think, "Well, I was saved 20 years ago and I gave the confession back then." Are you any less saved today than you were 20 years ago? Isn't He still forgiving us of our sins today? Isn't there still as much victory today as we felt? Maybe we're not feeling the dryness, the strengthening. We should be. Every day we should feel, "I'm saved. I'm saved from a devil's hell. I'm forgiven of wicked deeds and wicked thoughts." God, help us to feel our need of Him, what He is doing to save us, and to glorify Him, to confess Him before men, whether it be embarrassing, whether it be that, you know, that these people, maybe there were people that would rather she was sick than alive, that didn't like her anyway. What kind of mistreatment did she receive afterwards? What about Jesus of Nazareth? He's an imposter. Are you sure that it was Jesus that healed you? Maybe the last physician that you saw, after all, his remedy is starting to work. Oh no, I know that I was sick to death as I was coming to His garment. And as soon as I touched it, immediately I sensed that I was whole. He did it. Give glory to Christ. I wonder, brother and sister, are we feeling our need and our love for Christ at the moment? Are we willing, with friends and relatives and strangers, to simply say, look, I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I still sin, and He's still forgiving me. I'm whole because of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're all suffering in some way or another, whether it be physically or spiritually. It's indicative of the curse. And you need Christ's help, ultimately. We can help one another somewhat alleviate and mitigate the pain, but ultimately, if we don't seek the Lord's help, we will suffer forever. And it's not just that Jesus can help you. He will help you if you believe. Don't be one of those that incidentally touch the Lord Jesus. And you in this room this morning, beware of incidentally hearing a message today. Beware of skepticism, of keeping at a distance. Go all the way to Christ and touch the hem of His garment for your soul. And then become concerned for the souls of others and lead them to touch the hem of His garment. Suffering. Trace it to our fall. We're deserving of suffering forever. In a devil's hell, we've assaulted God and trespassed His law and rejected His Son, and we've hailed ourselves. If we can be saved at all, it would be by our own righteousness. Seek divine help. Trust the divine remedy, which is the blood of Jesus Christ. Isn't it interesting? Here's a woman with a flow, with a hemorrhaging, an issue of blood for 12 years, and she was cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Lord, save me from the flow of my tainted blood. By man came the resurrection from the dead. Touch the hem of His garment. Christ's work is finished. Believe on His life. Believe on His death that was once for all. Believe on His resurrection. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And thou shalt be saved. And may I say, immediately. Immediately. It's not gradual salvation. When the Lord causes the new birth, it is instantaneous. It is permanent, it is perfect, it is eternal. Just like that woman when it says, thou art made whole of this plague, is the tense that from then on she sensed. Now she had to get sick and die again, but it wasn't from the flow of blood. That was a permanent work. But I know this, she didn't lose her salvation. She may have gotten sick and died. Oh, she had to die. Veronica didn't get translated to heaven. But I know this. She became a new woman in Christ and was forgiven of her sin. She's in heaven today by the virtue of Jesus Christ. Sorrowing. It's the path to the Savior. Feel it, friend, because you're suffering one way or another right now. Health isn't everything. Christ is everything. There's a Christ to gain and a Christless eternity to shun. Touch the hem of His garment and you shall be made whole. Oh, not it may not be your physical healing. We've got disease and sickness within us if it hasn't sprung up already. And the Lord doesn't promise by touching the hem of his garment that we're going to be made whole of the plagues that are going to take us, our bodies, down into the grave. But I know this, if you touch the hem of his garment, believe on his finished work for the salvation of your soul, you will be made whole now and forever. Oh, may the Lord cause this truth to sink down into our hearts. We're in a crowd in the world. Be that one friend that touches, that gets all the way to Christ and has a not an incidental, but a purposeful touch. A purposeful contact with Christ where he saves your never dying soul. Trust him. He's trustworthy. He has power to save from sin. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, deliver us from just a sermon today. Deliver us, Lord, from just being on a stage. Lord, I feel sometimes that we're just scheduling in this time and we listen for an hour and the benediction is given, and Lord, it seems that we have forgotten what we have heard. That it passes from one ear to the other and throughout, and just we forget what we have heard. That there isn't a permanent, lasting effect. Father in heaven, please let us take heed that we have heard. Let there be a permanent effect. Lord, change our lives by the truth, by the Savior that we have considered today. Lord Jesus, may virtue come from Thee unto us. Strengthen us. Save us by Thy blood. Forgive our sins by Thy mercy. Give us victory where we have been defeated. Give us public confession where we have been secretive. Lord, help us to take the embarrassments and what have you regarding confessing and testifying of your grace. Help us to declare how great things thou hast done for our souls. Forgive our fear of man. Forgive our sins. O Lord, please use us today in a small way, like that woman, to glorify your name, to make public that thou art the great physician of our souls. Thank you, Lord, for delivering us from the miserable comforters and the failure of our own righteousness and the failure of the false teachings of religion. And we pray, Lord, that you would use us to make known that Jesus is near. May others hear and come to the Savior and touch the hem of his garment. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.